And as we're getting settled in, I did mention to some that I told you yesterday I was looking for a shipment from Israel, and that shipment did come in. And so there are some scars back there. I'm really particular about that I take from Israel, and so there's a particular brand of scarf that I really like. It's cashmere, but it's also made in Israel as opposed to in China. You do know that when you go to Israel, it can say made in Israel and it can be made in China. I watch them unload things. Matter of fact, I was in China. I watched them stamping made in Israel on some of the trinkets that they were making. But this is actually made in Israel, and so I think you'll find them to be neat. If nothing else, just go by and feel them to see the beautiful quality. I say that because, you know, one of the ways that people are trying to punish Israel is they're trying to boycott Israel products. And so I love just going into the store and asking for food items that are Israeli. And it just drives them crazy because I know good and well they don't have them, but then they'll order them. And so I get five or six people to go in and ask for Jaffa oranges. And pretty soon they're carrying Jaffa oranges. And so that's a great way to support Israel. Today, we want to look at part one and part two of the name of the Lord. And this verse is really special to me, Psalm 115:1. Psalm 115:1. Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory for thy mercy and thy truth's sake. We're on one side, and now we're on both sides, yeah. And this is a verse that we've adopted with Bible Truth and Milk and Honey Ministries as kind of our theme verse. And the reason I like it is because I think today we found that names have really lost their significance, even in Scripture. And so the handout that you have is actually one that Brother John Plants has put together. And we'll look at it. I don't know if I'm going to get to it in part one or it will be part two. But the name of the Lord. And we take the name of God so casually, don't we? Matter of fact, I'm going to tell you one of my pet peeves. And it's when I hear people, whether it's on the news or whether it's on the playground, and or maybe it's even in the grocery store, and they say, "Oh God." I mean, and it just rips me. Now, if they were saying it, "Oh God, help me," as a prayer, I'd say, "Wow, that's wonderful." Or if they were giving glory to God by saying that, that would be fantastic as well. But they use it in such a casual way that it's become a slang word. And I look and I see what God says in His Word about His name. And how that God is going to highly exalt His name. And I think it's just one more way that we try to put God down. We try to make God less than what heaven would make Him. And so I don't know that I could exhaust the verses that would actually show all the things concerning God. And actually, when we're done with this little lesson, we're going to try to do a little bit of Hebrew in it today. I noticed a lot of kids here, and so we'll have them speaking fluent Hebrew. Okay, we'll have him reading a couple of Hebrew letters by the end of the session. And see how important. You see, I really believe that this book is inspired by God. I think it's God-breathed. And the minute we get away from that, then we're in for some real danger, because if part of it is not God-breathed and part of it is, then how do we know what part is true and what part is not? And so I think that's why we take the Word of God, and I think we have to hold it very carefully, not just in our hands, but in our mind and in our hearts. And I think that there's no better way to represent that than the name of God. And so, not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory for thy mercy and for thy truth's sake. And really, the test of anything is, does it bring glory to God's name? And so what we want to do is start a little study. And in this study, we're going to be looking at several ways in which we can bring glory to God. And so here's one of the passages that's really a fantastic one. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Ever think about that? Robbery. What does it mean by robbery? It means that if you take credit for something that really is somebody else. Let's just say that I gave you this handout, and John Plants is, I don't know that he put it in this form or not, but he's the one that did the research on it, and I didn't tell you it was from John. Well, really, I'd be robbing John, wouldn't I? And so here's Jesus, and when Jesus became a man, he was still God. Now, this is what throws mathematics into a quandary, because one God and one man makes one. That's Jesus. How can that be? Well, that's heavenly math. And so, who, being in the form of God, thought it robbery to be equal with God. You see, God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit are absolutely equal. Now, I know there's all kinds of situations that are coming up today, not just the Jehovah false witnesses. Because for a long time, they have said that Jesus is not quite God. So what part of him is not God? I mean, it doesn't make sense, does it? And then sometimes people say, well, yeah, but if he became man, no. You see, he was still 100% God, and he was 100% man. I mean, this is the incredible miracle of this whole incarnation. And so I think we have to be careful that we don't rob Jesus Christ of his deity, but at the same time, look at one of the most incredible things, because not only are we going to look at this passage in more detail later, we're going to see the seven steps that he has down. And let me tell you this, no mere man would have taken the steps down that Jesus did. But relax, because after the cross and after resurrection, guess what? We're going to read in Revelation how God is going to exalt him in a sevenfold manner, and he's going to bring him even to greater glory than he had before. It's wonderful. But he made himself of no reputation. I'll just stop there for a minute. You know what? We always want to make ourselves a reputation, don't we? I see people, and I was looking at, I think this is a Fox News survey. John, see if you recognize the handout. I don't think you gave it to me in that form, but... No. Yes, that, yes, I do. Well, turn on the back side. I told him I'm going to give you credit for it. Yeah. I have 11 secretaries. Yeah. And they try to keep you straight. Like they said yesterday, because I had 6 calls from 6 different secretaries when I got to my hotel last night, and they said, okay, you're a mess. And I did. I gave some of them, I gave 2 of them the same job, and a couple of them that I was supposed to give a job to, I didn't give it to them. I think it has to do with age. But I don't want to say that to my secretaries because they don't think they're getting no, wait a minute, it's my age, never mind. Yeah. Okay. But made himself of no reputation. You know, we're always trying to make ourselves a reputation. Fox News said this, that 90% of the resumes contain lies. 90%. People lie about their degrees. They lie about their universities. They lie about their grade point averages. They lie about their wage at their job. 90, I mean, that's horrible, isn't it? So here's Jesus. He made himself of no reputation. Do you see how opposite that is of man? You want to know why? Because his reputation was without dispute. Can you imagine if someone discovered a little sin in Jesus? And you know what? Some of the movies, I know they present the fact that maybe Jesus lusted after Mary. Listen, folks, that's not true. Yeah. He made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant. Wow. I mean, that's incredible. Was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself. He humbled himself. Have you ever listened to the interviews of these pro athletes? They're so full of themselves that there's enough natural gas in a room when they're given an interview that you could heat Canada for 5 years. I mean, really, it's just horrible, isn't it? And he humbled himself, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. What could be worse? We'll look at that later. Wherefore, God also hath highly exalted him. Don't you love that? Can you imagine when God exalts you? not yourself. There's a little saying, who sings his own praises always gets the tune too high. But God is going to highly exalt him. You want to know something? You can never make too much of Jesus. You can never. And if you could leave here today and say, someone says, what was the message about? That you'd say, Jesus. Then I'd say, wow, I got my point across. God will highly exalt him. He's given him a name which is above every name. Now just before I came up, I don't think I brought my phone. Hey, run back there. See what that code is and get my phone. I've got the page Googled up right now. Guess what the number one name is in England and Wales? Number one boy's name. Muhammad. Yeah. Now, it's not at the top of the list. And the reason it's not on the top of the list, I promised my wife I wouldn't do this, preach from the iPhone. But you're not going to tell her, so I'm okay. Yeah. It's Muhammad. There's three ways to spell it. And so Muhammad is the number one name in England. Okay? And official research says that it's Oliver. And now most of the names are names from Harry Potter, and they're names from the game, Thrones game. Those are becoming the number one names. I mean, this is just incredible. Can you imagine naming your little child Muhammad? Now, I'm going to tell you, I've got some kids at school, because we have 23 different countries, about 90 exchange students, and we've got some unusual names. Matter of fact, I have 11 different Chinese students, and their last name all begin with Z-H-U, and then la, 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 la. Okay, and so I call one George Chinese, and I call another one Andy Chinese, and one guy can't even said, I don't like the name Dennis. I said, what do you like better? He said, Denny. I said, okay, you're Denny. You can make up whatever name you want. I remember naming kids in the orphanage, I had to make up their name, and I had to make up their birth date. And one guy, a little younger guy, he was taller than his brother, so I made him older. And so his brother came back crying. He says, you made me younger than my brother. I said, we can fix that. And I just erased it, put down a new birth date, and got him happy. Yeah. I've got two twin girls. They're from Pakistan, and they're identical twins. And so I say, I don't think you guys really ever do it fair. And so the other day, one of them was there, and I said, Simran, I really like you a lot better than your sister. I was pretty sure it was Sonia. And she says, you do? I said, yeah, Simran, you're just so much nicer than your sister. And I just let it sit there, and I appreciate it. She says, I'm Sonia. I said, I know that. just to aggravate her. Do you understand how sensitive we are about our name? It's really, we're sensitive about it, aren't we? And so when a name comes, it's important. But we're watching the world. You know what they do? According to this particular survey, you can Google it yourself if you want to. It's interesting because Hollywood actors, their names get picked. Matter of fact, I think Oliver now is big. Harry is big. The new royal line there in England, they're getting some hits, but nothing compares to Muhammad. Now, when you hear that, what do you say about the country of England and Wales? Yeah, because you know what? I live in a neighborhood, and right down the street from me is a mosque. And already, they're complaining about the fact that a Christian school flies a Christian flag, very offensive to them. Can you imagine? We serve pork. Yeah. They forgot we're Gentiles. They're Gentiles. And we eat pork. Yeah. And they're offended at everything we do. And so, hey, it comes from the name. I was in Egypt, and I think next to Israel, I've been in Egypt more than any other country. I won't go into all those details other than tell you, I think it's at least 48 times. So I've been to the pyramids a lot. But there was a little vendor that I saw there frequently, and his name was Muhammad. And so he'd followed me around. He was a pain in the neck, to be honest. And so I said, look, I'm going to buy $10 worth of postcards from you and Sphinx and just junk. I'm going to give you $10 right now, and you keep the postcards because I don't want them. But then you leave me and my group alone. He says, yeah, I'll do it. Okay, and so I gave him $10, and about an hour or two later, he came back and said, $10 is up. I said, no, wait, we had an agreement. He says, no, he said, I can't be that long without business. I said, okay, I said, here's what I'll do. I'm going to give you $3 more, and you say this, Jesus is Lord. Now, this is a little boy, probably 9 or 10 years old, in the middle of Egypt. Okay, and this is probably my fifth or sixth time in that area in probably a year and a half. And he walked right up to me, and he spit right in my face. He said, no, Muhammad is God's name. Now, if there wasn't something important about a name, why would he spit at me? You see, the world does recognize the power of a name. And that's why, really, I don't want to harp on this, but I think we really have to be careful that we don't use the names of God so casually that really, you know, up until now, the way the world knows the name of Jesus more than any other way is through cursing. Someday that's going to change. Why? He has given him a name which is above every name. Wow. That at the name of Jesus. By the way, look, it doesn't just say the person, the name, because you see, the name represents the character, represents the authority of a person. That at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. Now look how inclusive it is. Of things in heaven, of things in earth, of things under the... Can you imagine in hell, every knee will bow? Wow. Let me tell you, there's power in the name of Jesus. And I think sometimes we apologize for the name of Jesus. Now, you know, sometimes I like an argument. And so I was in a store. I'm not going to mention Walmart by name because I got in trouble. I mentioned them in a message and lo and behold, I got a call from them. So it has a happy face, blue vest, and lines like that. So if you happen to recognize it, ends in Mart, begins with a W. And so I was in there, and so this lady was—I don't even know what she was doing, but she just kept saying Jesus. And I thought, wow, this must be a Christian. And she was tugging at this thing. She said, Jesus. I said, man, we're going to have a revival right here in the middle of Walmart, you know? And the third time, she says, Jesus. I said, hey, I see you must know my best friend. She says, I do? I don't know you. I said, no, I heard you talking to Jesus down here under your cart. She says, no. She said, I can't get this thing. It's stuck. Look, it's ripped now. And she says, oh, Jesus. I said, I think there's a Sunday school song about Jesus. And she says, are you one of those fanatics? I said, well, maybe so, because, wow, I haven't heard anyone use the name of Jesus that much since Sunday school courses. I mean, 4 times in 1 minute, she had Jesus trying to help her get that thing out from under her cart. I'm going to be honest with you. I think the devil got it stuck, not Jesus. You see, we have completely turned around. It's so turned around that the Bible says there's going to be a name that God himself is going to highly exalt him and give him a name which is above everything. And at the name of Jesus, you want to know something? There's going to be a day that lady is not going to be trying to get something out from under her car. She's going to bow down and she's going to say the name of Jesus. It's going to be a different tone. Oh, listen, I don't know about you, but I think we've got to be really careful. Everything in heaven, everything on the earth, everything under the earth is going to recognize the beauty of that name of Jesus. And every tongue, can you imagine, you know, this noted scientist that just died. Oh, my goodness. They told me they had his funeral in the church in England. What? That is just hilarious. That guy wouldn't go to a church He was in horrible condition physically. They talked about how smart he was. How can he be that smart and not know who Jesus is? And I thought, wow, I am so glad they had his funeral in a church. That was it. That's the only time that body went in. Well, my wife said, you just need to settle down. I said, I just think it's fitting. They had to wait until he died to drag him into a church. That man, with all of his intellect, that man so critical of everything about Jesus, you know what he's going to do? He's going to bow his knee to the name of Jesus. There's professors, and they're ridiculing our students, our children, because they uphold the name of Jesus. There's going to be a day those professors are going to bow their knee to the name of Jesus. And so I want to look at the idea of a name. What's in a name? How important is a name? And so let's do it in a couple ways. Look at this one, Revelation chapter 3. Him that overcometh. Now, I'll stop there. That's why this is going to be a two-part message. Because in the book of Revelation, not Revelations, plural, it's one, Revelation. If you want to check me out, look, there's only one. He's only going to reveal one thing. He's going to reveal the glory of Jesus Christ. It's not a book about the second coming. It's a book about revealing who Jesus is. And so in that Revelation 2 and 3, that church age, there's seven letters to the churches, and everyone has an overcomer. And John, who wrote those incredible passages there to the seven churches, in 1 John 5, he talks about the overcomer. And so in this particular one, he says, he that overcomes, I will make a pillar in the temple of my God. He shall go no more out. I will write upon him the name of my God. Now, I'm probably going to get in big trouble for this, but I'm not real big on ink. You know what I'm talking about? You're not sure? Tattoos. Yeah, I'm just not big on it. Amen. And I know it's an Old Testament passage, but here's why. Because someday he's going to write on me the name of my God. And I don't want anything competing with the name of God. Next. And on the name of the city of my God. Wow, that's going to be something, isn't it? Okay, next. Which is New Jerusalem, which comes down out of the heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. Oh, my goodness. Jesus is going to have a new name. Now, let me ask you this. This is an unbiased survey. How many of you go by a nickname other than your real name? Yeah. And see, like my real name is Robert. And so if my mother ever called me Robert, you know what that meant? Head for the back door. Don't stop. Okay? You know? But if it was Rob, oh, I can come to this one. You know, this, here I come. But man, don't mess. No, she says Robert. Oh, whoa, 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 whoa. And then if it's your middle name too, wow, you got to get out of there quick. I mean, this is a matter of preserving your life, okay? And so, but when I went to school, in my grade, in my school, one grade, there were five of us that were Roberts, okay? And so the teacher said, we're in two or three classrooms, but they brought us in and said, okay, this boy, he was going to be Robert. Actually, that was me. And another boy, he was going to be Bob. Another one was going to be Bobby. And one was going to be Robbie. And one was going to be Rob. And so we all went home with our new names, you know. And so I thought, I came out of that pretty good. I'm Robert. I mean, you know, my mother calls me Robert. My teacher calls me Robert. We got a call from the little guy who got the name Rob. And she called my mother and said, at school, they renamed my boy. They call him Rob. I'm not having a boy named Rob. And I understand your son got the name Robert. Well, that's my son's name. And so he's going to take Rob and you're going to take... My mother said, do you care? I said, I don't care. Matter of fact, I hope the teacher never uses my name one time. And so I became Rob. And that little boy became Robert. Yeah. But you see, that made that mother so mad. They hear this tape back home, I'm dead. I've got a sister-in-law and she named her boy Daniel. You know what I called him? Danny. Oh, my goodness. I won't do that again in her presence. You know, I got a grandson named Joseph, and I call him Jay in front of him, but not in front of his mother. You see, we're not only sensitive about our names, but our parents are sensitive about it. Why? Because they took some time figuring out that name, don't they? And so, can you imagine? Here's God. And let me tell you, he took some time with the name of Jesus. And there's a lot of names. Jesus has a lot of names in the Word of God. And we want to look at some of those. Here's another one. Revelation chapter 19, verse 12. I'll just read it. It says, a name written which no one knew but God himself. This is at the end when he comes back in his glory. Hey, he's going to have a name that's going to be so special that only God knows it. I'll tell you this. I think when we hear that name, I think it's going to remind us of the glory that he had and the power that he has. I can hardly wait to hear what that name is. No man knows it, so let's not guess it. But, you know, there's some things about names that are kind of interesting because, how did that skip from there to there? Names are important in the old days because, you see, they used to be your vocation. A name often, when you were given a name, that's what you became. Or it might be a family tradition. Anyone here named the third or the fourth? You know, like George the Third, Henry the Eighth. I mean, no one's a third? No one's a fourth? You got to be kidding. Man, back home, I got kids and they're the third and the fourth. And so these things, well, your plans were foretold in a name. Now, having said all that, and you'll see why that's important in a minute, even modern day, there's some things. I work with a man, a brilliant man. He's an engineer, and his name is Dr. Glenn Zumwalt. And guess what his specialty was? Hypersonic reentry into the atmosphere, and his name was Zumwalt. Yeah. Or you might be able to guess this one. This guy, his name is Dr. Hart. Guess what he does? Yeah, he's a cardiologist. I said, you didn't have a chance at any other occupation, did you? I mean, you know, you can't be a cardiologist and I mean you can't be a Dr. Hart, you know, and be a car salesman. Yeah. Or how about this one? Dr. Butcher. He's on the faculty at Ohio State. Yeah, he's in the butchering business. Or how about this one? Dr. Shu. No, you missed that one. You know what he does? He's a computer repairman. Yeah. But I mean, you see, here's what I'm saying. The name, it directs you, doesn't it? And so as we look at these things, I want us to understand how important this is. So here's some examples. Daniel. The story of Daniel and his friends, wow, it's just so important. So Daniel means God is my judge. And notice the L there, Daniel. Okay, God is my judge. And can't you see this Hebrew family naming that little boy something really special? And Hananiah, the grace or the gift of the Lord. Mishael, he that is the strong God. Azariah, the Lord is my help. And then they get taken captive to Babylon. And guess what? They changed their name. They changed the name to Belshazzar, keeper of the treasures of Baal. Wow, that's just horrible, isn't it? That was one of they made it so that it was one of the chief Babylonian divinities. You know what? It was a slap in the face to those Hebrew young people. Hey, you want to know something? I believe today the world wants to change the language of our children. And if we're not careful, we allow them to pull that down. And when they pull the name of Jesus down, you want to know something? They do it with disrespect. And so I want to show that when the name of Jesus comes out of my mouth, when the name of God comes out of my mouth, it's in praise and worship. It's in bringing glory to God. Hananiah changed to Shadrach. Inspiration of the sun. The Chaldeans, they worshiped the sun. And Michelle, to Meshach, the goddess of Shek. That was a name for Venus. Do you understand? They took the name of God and replaced it with one of their gods all the way through. and the Abednego, servant of the shining fire, also worshipped by the Babylonians. You see, it wasn't just to make it easier to say, but it was a way for them to throw the goodness of God down. And here's another example, Abraham and Sarah. Now, in Genesis chapter 12 through 17, Abraham is referred to as Abram. And then in chapter 17, verse 5, and let's just go there for a minute, there's a name change. And so whenever you see there's a name change, what happens, the nature and the purpose of a person is now revealed by God. He's got something in mind. He's going to do something to change that. And so this is going to be based on the very promise of God. And that's why this name change is so important. And by the way, you know that God has a name change plan for us. We'll be looking at that a little later in our study. And so beginning in chapter 12, verse 1, now the Lord had said unto Abram, and he talks to Abram the whole way. And then finally, when you come all the way over to chapter 17, I mean, every time you find there, it's going to be Abram. And finally, when you get down to chapter 17, verse 1, and when Abram was 90 years old and nine, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I'm the Almighty God, walk before me, be thou perfect. And I will make my covenant between me and thee, and will multiply thee exceedingly. And Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with thee. Thou shalt be a father of many nations. Neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be called Abraham. For a father of many nations have I made thee. Now to me, this is just incredible, but I'm afraid that we read through it so quickly that it doesn't seem to be important. So when we see that this name is going to change, it has to do with the purpose that God has for him. Abram means exalted father, but Abraham means father of a multitude. So when he gave Abram that new name, every time someone said Abraham, it reminded him God has a promise. Hey, you want to know something? Today, people don't like the word Christian. I know people that are believers. I love it. Christ one. Isn't that a wonderful way to be called? When I was a kid growing up, I used to travel with my father when he'd go preaching at places, and we stopped at a little town. My father was really big on witnessing to people. He was an old-time evangelist that would go for two or three or four weeks at a time and preach the gospel, sometimes with a chart in a tent and all that kind of stuff. And I loved going with him. And so he'd get out of the car, and in those days, a gas attendant came out and filled, you know, gas in your car. You probably don't remember those days, but I was a small boy, and they used to do that, you know. And my father would always get out of the car anyway, because I knew this guy was going to get the gospel. And so my father's trying to strike up a conversation with him, and this guy's filling the car with gas, and a man was walking across the street that we actually knew. And the gas guy, filling the gas, he says, there goes Jesus. My father said, I beg your pardon? He says, there goes Jesus. He says, no. He says, that's so-and-so Schrader. He said, no. He said, that's Jesus. Jesus this, Jesus that, Jesus. All he talks about is Jesus. Isn't that a compliment? Wow. I wish someone would say, man, all he talks about is Jesus. You see, we're changing. And we don't want to be a Jesus freak. I do. I want to be a Jesus. I want to say, when people see me, they say, he's probably going to talk about Jesus. Yeah. There's nothing better than that. And so here's Abram, and his name is now Abraham, father of the multitude. Every time someone called his name, he was reminded that God made a promise, and he said, listen, Abraham, I've got things that are going to change for you. Now, this is what's neat. This is by Dr. Paul Harnett. What is in a name, and why change it? To discover the reason for God changing the name of Abraham and Sarah, we must first discover the nature and purpose of a name. The name reveals the authority of an object or person. The purpose is to bring about or reveal God's will. When God changes a name, he's pointed at a new destiny. It's called a status change. You might call it a spiritual promotion. Through Abraham, that is, by the authority of his name, all the families of the earth will be blessed. Hey, isn't that neat? Abraham. He would never forget that there was a covenant made with God. Genesis 12:3, and I will bless them that bless you and curse him that curses you, and all the families of the earth shall be blessed. And so he made that wonderful promise. Now, what's in a name? Well, let's go just a step further. God does all for the glory of his name. As he is the author of creation, let's begin with his name. God is Elohim. His name is Yahweh. Now, when you do Hebrew, and John is here just to make sure that I'm honest with this, they take the vowels out. So when you look at something, let's just say that you have the word, let's say you had the letters P-N. Are you with me, kids? P-N. And when you read that, you don't know if it's going to be pin, like to stick with a P-I-N, or whether it's going to be a P-E-N. You have to put the vowel in there yourself. Are you with me? You're not. Let's try it again. P-N. That could be a lot of words. But it could be pin, like you stick somebody, and that's spelled P-I-N. Are we together on that? Is that same in Canada? Okay. All right. But it could also be P-E-N, what you put a sheep in. You see what I'm saying? Yeah, a pen like you're right with, okay? So here is Yahweh. And you got to read now from right to left. So the word is spelled Yad, Hey, Va, Ye, Hey. No vowels. Now are you with me? Is there one? How many are with me? How many don't want to be with me? Yeah, okay, yeah. I have that same trouble. Okay. So here we go. Yod. See the little yod. Hey, va, hey. Now the reason why this is interesting is because the Hebrew word hey, you see it, that looks like a pi symbol. All right, it represents the Holy Spirit. It represents the Spirit of God. And so now what we're going to do? Whoa. You're not supposed to see all that stuff yet. Yeah, no. You can't see that. Okay? So here's what he does. He takes the hey from the middle of the name of God, and he puts it in the middle of Abraham's name. And it goes from Abram to Abraham. And then he takes Sarai, and he takes the hey from the end of the name of God, and puts it at the end of Sarah's name, and wow, there is a whole new flavor. And their destiny is marked out. Why? Because God interacted with Abram and Sarai. Don't you love it? You understand every letter is important to God. And so now with the Spirit of God, he says, God is your mother and your father. I mean, this is incredible what he would do. So there's the greater purpose. And so Genesis 17, neither shall thy name be any more called Abram, but shall be called Abraham, for a father of many nations have I made thee. And I will establish my covenant between me and thee and thy seed after thee and their generations for an everlasting covenant, be a God unto thee and to thy seed forever. Now let's go a step further, because here's Sarah. And how did Sarah get there? Well, it's just wonderful how God would take that, because he would make it so that she would become a special one. She would become the mother of a multitude. And it doesn't stop there, because remember, here comes her boys. And so when Esau is born, do you remember the story about how when they have children? And Esau comes out, and remember his arm was hairy and red. And guess what they named him? Hairy. I mean, the rest of his life. Harry. Yeah. And Jacob, remember when he came out, he was already grabbing his brother's heel. They called him supplanter or heel grasper. And you know what? Those things dominated them. Esau would sell his birthright for red porridge, wouldn't he? And I mean, their whole life is there. And so here's Jacob, and Jacob one day, Genesis 35, he wrestles with God. And by the time he's done wrestling with God, his name is changed from heel grasper to Prince of God. Wow. Do you understand? Do you see how God is really, really pays attention to names? Now, let's go to Jesus. And how much time do I have? Am I down to that 10 or 7? Oh, yeah. I'm glad that handout, we're going to have to save until tonight because I'm not going to get to it, but that's okay because I'd rather have you understand something than to just go through it quickly. Wow, you know what? I can't believe they didn't put that. Huh. You know what? I should have put up names part two. See if you can flip that up. Names part two. And then. Now, let's wheelie down here a ways. Probably all the way down to Jacob. Yeah, go. Yep, another one. That we're going to do that tonight. Huh. Okay, that's okay. Then go back one. I don't want them to see that yet. Let's let them look at that. And I gotta tell you about something else. Oh yeah, that'll be good. I am gonna tell you about a couple other names. One of them is, do you remember that when Abraham and Sarah had a baby, and Abraham was 99, and the Bible is very kind to Sarah, and she said that she was past her prime. She's 90. So if you go to a woman and you want to be on her good side, say, you're in your prime. And that means you're less than 90. Okay? Because she was past her prime. And so Sarah hears that she's going to have a baby. Now, how the Bible says is wonderful. She didn't laugh out loud. You know, she could have said, ha, ha, ha. She just, inside her, said, that's not even likely. And I bet she could give a bunch of medical reasons and God says, you know what? You laughed. And she said, no, I didn't. I said, no, you laughed inside. You have any of those? Yeah, boy. I got a little guy, he's a grandson. Why am I even telling you the story? But I'll tell you. So I said, and he just loves riding with me. And so I said, hey, you got to sit down. And he said, no. I said, oh, you're going to sit down. And so you know what I did? This is in my smart car. So I speed up and I stop all of a sudden. Boom, 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 like that. And he sits down. I said, I told you you need to sit down. You know what he told me? He said, I may be sitting down on the outside, but I'm not sitting down on the inside. I said, where are you? He says, Robbie Zachariah told me that story. Well, here's Sarah. She laughs. And guess what? A baby comes. You know what they name him? Laughter. Can't you see? Yeah. Hey, Laugher. Come on. Every kid in school must have made fun of him. The joke's on you, buddy. But you see, that name characterized him, didn't it? Or how about you go to another passage and here's the wife of Isaac, and Rachel dies giving birth, Genesis chapter 35. And when she dies, she names the boy Benoni. It means son of my sorrow. And Jacob calls him Benjamin, son of my right hand. You see, those two parents had completely different outlooks on that child. One sorrow, one, wow, this is the one that's going to guide and rule and reign. And so let me tell you, there's a lot in a name. And so now let's go to the name of Jesus, because there's some things that I think are really special and really fun about this. Have you ever wondered, it says in Matthew chapter 1, verse 25, I want to go back to John, we'll stay with that one. It said this, they, others, will call him Emmanuel, or God with us. Now, the reason why I think that's important is because, you see, this idea fulfilled Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. It spoke of his character. But when it came to Mary and Joseph, and I hope this is going to click. Oh, boy. Wow. You know what? I tried to change this thing the night before I left, and so here's what I get. Well, they were Moses and Joseph. Moses and Joseph. Wow, that's a new combination. How about Mary and Joseph? They named him Jesus. And here's what I like about that. Because in the Hebrew, Yeshua. Did you see it? Yeah, I maybe. Is it in that one? Oh, yeah. Yeah, we could use that one. Yeshua. Or if it's in the Greek, it's Isa. Or if it's English, it's Jesus. It means salvation. And so they, others, would call him Emmanuel. When you saw him, his name Emmanuel, it means God is with us. That was his character. But his name was salvation. Wouldn't you think that people would be excited when someone came and their name was salvation? Is it down to one? I was ignoring you for a minute. It's past one. Oh, boy. Yeah. So here's some nice ones. Here's Jacob in Genesis chapter 49, verse 18, talking about the future, talking about our state. He said this, I've waited for thy Yeshua. Wow, isn't that something? You know what? I think Jacob got the picture. I think he knew that someday there was going to be salvation, and that salvation was going to come, and that was going to be Yeshua. You see, when Adam and Eve, remember, the first child they had, they thought that was going to be a redeemer. They called him Cain, man from God. He turned out to be a murderer. Wasn't a man from God. But Jacob said, I've waited for thy Yeshua. Hey, folks, I'm waiting for him too. Or Moses. Moses said this, stand still, see the Yeshua of the Lord. And the sea opens. I mean, wow. I think he did that in the name and the power of Jesus. And look at this one. Moses said, the Lord is my strength and song. He has become my salvation, my Yeshua. And do you remember, how is it possible that Jesus would say, Abraham saw my day and rejoiced? You want to know why? Because remember, he said to Abraham, Abraham, God will provide himself a lamb. And what Abraham saw in the thicket was a ram. A ram is not a lamb. And God said, Abraham rejoiced to see my day. Why? Because he knew that someday God would provide a lamb, and that lamb would be Yeshua. That would be the name of Jesus. And that's the name that the Antichrist hates, the devil hates, the world hates, and it's the name that we love. You want to know why? Because God chose that special name for him. And he's going to exalt it. Well, we're going to stop here, and we're going to try to continue this in our session tonight. But I pray that as we do so, you'll see the beauty that's in the name of Jesus. Hey, you know what? We're going to read this later tonight. There's salvation in no other name. I had a boy come to me, a very bright boy. And he said, I'm the first Buddha Christian. I said, no, you're not. He says, yeah. He said, I'm the first Buddha Christian. I said, no. Salvation is exclusive in Jesus. You can't be a Buddhist Christian. Because Buddha had nothing to do with the work of Jesus. His name alone. Acts says there's salvation in no other name but the name of Jesus. Father, we come to you. And we pray, Lord, that the more the world makes fun of Jesus, the more we'll make of Jesus. Thank you for giving us one so wonderful that he'll be highly exalted. Father, help us to highly exalt him today. Father, help us as we study the Word of God to understand the purpose and the plan that you have for us and for your Son. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.